You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Sticky Eggs. They got one more problem
with you, girl. Thank you, Iggy.
It's the best song ever.
Here we go.
Yes, totally.
It's the perfect song.
It should be like a theme song for the New York Housewives. It's a really good
song. Yeah, actually, could.
Kristen could work out to this.
Oh, it could be a perfect addition to her workout video.
I would watch that.
I would too. I feel like music is like the number one reason why you want to work out.
And when you hear
a good song.
To do it in silence.
It's motivating.
Oh my God. Absolutely. Do you feel that? You do teach spin, right?
Yeah.
So you know, like, your music means
the music is the whole. Do you think anybody would actually come to the class?
Kenny G is playing in the house.
You teach it.
You're gonna have to tell us about that. Did you see the body? It's not even normal.
You can kick all of our butts and spin.
Oh my God, it's so embarrassing when I do spin. Anyway, hi guys. We're here for the Real Housewives of New York City After Show. I'm Ashley Daniels, along with my beauties, a full panel again tonight, which I'm excited about.
Reunited.
I'm Stephanie McGraw, guys.
And I'm Lindsay Wegner.
Courtney Henderson.
Okay, cool, Hi. So, and we have a special guest.
Hi.
Hello. Okay, so Courtney, I think you mentioned tonight it was not too much drama in the. It seemed like everybody was getting along. It seems like we have these peaks where they get along, boom, something happens, and then, you know, this was one of those nice moments. I think that with the drama or the craze came from George. And his crazy proposal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll get into that. Was that a proposal?
Yeah. Horrible proposal.
It was so weird. That whole thing was just sketchy.
Is it really genuine?
Yeah. I thought it was going to be lingerie, but we'll, you know.
I did too.
I don't know. I think we should play it up a little bit tonight. Do we have to go from beginning to end of the episode?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, let's do something different.
You're in charge, lady.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there'll be some people might be upset about it. Some people will like
it
too,
though. We'll go back.
Okay. So let's just talk about that. Since we just talked about it, we just mentioned it. What did you think about that proposal? Was it for the cameras? So for anybody who didn't see tonight, Aviva's father is back. He made his appearance again. And for anybody who's watched before, you know he always, he's the life of the party, so to speak.
Hey, Prince Sonia.
He has a lot to say. But he brings his 25-year-old girlfriend tonight to dinner. Mm-hmm. And he says he has a gift for her, gives her a bag, and out pops an engagement ring, and he asks her to marry her, and she says yes immediately. And everybody's just kind of like dumbfounded, but they're like, they don't want to be rude, so they're like, congratulations.
She didn't respond straight away because I think she was thinking about everyone else, though, in some way, is this the way you're going to propose?
He didn't ask. He just, like, announced to everyone else in the room. He didn't even say it to her. He was just like,
it's an engagement ring.
Yeah. And it's like, I thought it was going to be lingerie when he was like, if it doesn't fit, we can take it back.
I did too. When you said that, I'm like, oh, it definitely is.
And he would do something like that.
And he would, of course, give it to her in front of everybody to, like, make the spectacle that he likes to make and be the party.
And sex and everything. Yeah. What they've just come from talking about, you know, mirrors in their bedroom.
I don't think she wanted to say yes. I really don't. I think she felt the pressure of the room.
Really?
I really do.
I think she saw the ring. She was like, screw it, yes.
Well, I mean, it's one of those where it's just like, you know, weird. She talked about being his little black secret and thinking that that's what he was trying to do. And then now he's proposing, like, the night that she meets Aviva.
Did we get a good look at the bag? It was a brown bag. I thought at first it was like something Louis Vuitton, like a wall or something, just from far away. But it looked like it was a brown bag and a blue...
A blue case.
It was like the regular velvet ring.
The ring was huge. Now, I know...
Somebody said they thought it looked fake.
I did.
Is he okay?
I thought it looked fake because it was so big, and I just felt like it had that, like... I don't know. Have you ever seen those fake cubic zirconias that they sell at, like, Macy's and stuff? And they're like... They look like engagement rings, but they have that look to them where I just... Obviously... I'm guessing it's got to be real because he does. I'm sure he has a lot of money.
Well, Cody said, you know, he goes, he works all day. I don't know on what.
Right.
The thing I saw about it was it did look fake because of how big and gaudy
it
was.
It was so
and
big.
I don't know if at that size, I feel like it's always going to look fake, but it almost looked like it was shallow. And like it had a big surface area. It looked like it had a big surface area, but it wasn't deep, which is not a good diamond.
Right.
Yeah, no, it looked almost cloudy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like it looked like a piece of glass, you know, that was laid on top of a ring, but there was no like curve to the stone or, you know, V to the stone.
It was a very shallow stone, which you can get it set to look really big if that's, you know, what's more important is the way that it looks than actually the quality of the diamond. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but it was such a quick glance anyways. Mm-hmm. It's honestly really hard to tell.
She had a ring on her left hand too.
Yeah, she did.
If anyone else noticed, she had a blue stone.
That she
a
took
big
off.
Blue stone on her left hand.
Okay, okay. I want to know what you guys think. Did you think it was real? I don't know if there's any diamond experts out there that watch our after show, but if you want to let us know.
Let us know what you thought about the ring. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm curious.
But Cody's reaction was still, and I understand that. I think in all, when you're proposed to, you know, I haven't been proposed to, but there's a certain aftershock. And you saw her taken back. She was just like, oh, for a bit. And I understand that's normal, but then you also go, is that a normal reaction? Like, but
if
I just
you were
say
really
yes
excited.
To.
Well, he didn't
what
do
the,
it right.
No.
It was weird. She's like, is this, are you serious over and over again? Because he didn't kneel down. It was almost like he was like, yeah, he was right. Oh, and yeah, would you? I may as well.
Yeah,
so may
just,
as well.
Yeah.
I feel like he was trying to impress the room because he wasn't even like to her, it's an engagement ring. He was like, it's an engagement ring, like to everybody else in the room who's like not looking at what's in the box. We all would have known it was an engagement ring. You wouldn't have had to announce it if you got on your knee and pulled it out of the box and gave her the ring, not the freaking bag from the store.
Right.
It was just so
like that your assistant went and picked up for you. You hope it's a diamond ring inside because you didn't even pick it out.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that's true, but that, you know, it's like that was kind of like the attitude.
It was weird. It was weird. No, keeping on the subject of George, I think we could do all George at this moment.
But how long have they been dating?
She said two and a half years.
2.5 years?
Yeah.
That's what Cody said.
It's weird though because just a year ago or so he was trying to get Sonia together with him.
But he's also said like
maybe she knew him for 2.5 years.
When they did flashbacks and showed Viva talking with her dad saying, you know, he was saying, I want you to meet, you know, one of my girls or whatever, she's flying in, you know, she's young, 20-something. She's like, Dad, I don't want to meet them all. You're 1, 2, 3-night things. So by the sounds of it, Cody isn't the only woman.
Yeah.
And hasn't ever been
the
only woman.
No, I don't think he could ever be exclusive by any means.
He's certainly not. So they could have been together for 2.5 years, and he's also had a whole bunch of other women.
Say, definition of dating is very vague and can be defined so many ways today.
Please define them for us. I would like to know.
Well, but I just mean, it's like every couple.
I'm actually serious, though. Like,
no, I mean, but like any couple, you know, like some couples, like some girls, like, match with a guy on Tinder and like they say they're dating, you know what I mean? And
like 12-year-olds like we're dating and like they go to the movies with their parents.
Like I dated a guy for like 48 hours and you know, I was like, do you want to go out with him? Yeah. Do you want to go out with her? Yeah. Okay. Like you're together. We walked by the hall in 7th grade and like didn't even know it because we didn't even know who each other were.
That's such a good point. Dating means like, something different to every single person. It's totally, it's totally
and it's
subjective.
Like up to
it's
you
funny.
To decide, you know, some relationships are open, some are not. Summer.
I mean,
it's just, it's all up to the couple involved, you know, and as long as they're both okay with it, you know, that's to each his own.
If they get married, she'll make a lot of money. I mean, she'll have half of
everything.
She may
not care who's on the side.
Right.
At that point.
Right. Most, well, look.
He was pretty.
There's a lot of women that
talked about it.
Do that.
Aviva even joked that she goes, you know, I'm excited for him, but not excited to have a 25-year-old stepmother.
Weird.
No.
Weird. It was just the whole thing.
I mean, she's
weird.
Got 10 great grandchildren.
It's just, in general, weird and creepy.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, I mean, I know we've seen him before, but for some reason, it was just like, I feel like this explains so much about Aviva. Like, there's no way she could have ever ended up normal.
When that's your dad.
Yeah.
No. Even though she constantly refutes all of his, like, Dad, this is disgusting.
Like, he makes her look really grounded and
normal.
Sane.
Totally.
And she has to be.
Even her response for when they were in the bedroom, and he's like, why don't you have mirrors up there? It makes everything more sexual, more, you know, it makes your sex life, it really steams it up. And he says it so, like, just very it's like it's nothing. Like it's just a conversation that he's having with anybody.
Oh my gosh,
and
I couldn't imagine.
At no point it's going through his head, you know, this is my daughter. There's boundaries. There's no lines crossed. And it's just like I just immediately picture like my relationship with my father and how like that would never, ever happen.
Oh my gosh,
ever.
No.
And if that ever did, I would be unbelievably
mortified.
Right, I would think, who are you?
Like, and it goes both ways. It's like I have two brothers. My parents, you know, three times because there's three of us.
Right, of course.
And that's it.
Right, you know what I mean? Like it goes both ways. Exactly.
Yeah, like that's it. Right. And they were done.
You don't you wish? We all wish that were the case.
You know, so it's like it goes both ways because
our parents have no genitals and nothing.
They're Ken dolls and Barbie.
Exactly.
Well, it's like Reed is like, I'm trying to convince him that, you know, we don't do that because like, it's his daughter. And he's talking about throwing mirrors on our ceiling.
I don't
even
know.
Even then, Reed chimes into it as well. He's like, I had mirrors when I was 16. It's like, oh, here we go.
Yeah, but like they try to make it. Right, yeah. But and also, Reed says it. And then did someone else say too that they had mirrors?
I think Sonya said she like, somebody else said it too. Because he did the whole like voting thing.
Yeah, it was like a joke. And that's funny. And they try to make it light. But then like, when it's your daughter and it's like a conversation with your daughter, it's just, it makes you wonder when it started. Was he like this when she was like 10? Like, did he say creepy
was
things?
Was always sexual
like, was he
and
always,
open?
Yeah. Like, did she always grow up with this? Like, we'll never know.
Once again,
but
just not really good dinner conversation.
I was just going to say, and at the dinner table. Not to mention, the topics were odd, but also I felt like the guest list was a little weird because it's, I mean, I know Aviva, I know that they get along with Harry, but I mean, your dad's bringing his girlfriend over, and you have your ex-husband
and it was a
on a date with your friend.
Wasn't it?
I mean, were Harry and Sonya on a date? It felt like it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. She's seen you,
I mean,
too.
I mean, yeah,
right?
I think
right.
always on and
but
off.
They were talking but about their own sex life.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ex-wife is there with her husband, and then her dad's there.
And then Wendy Madden? It's like, and now you just have, like, a friend's wife or your friend who, without her spouse there.
Yeah.
Right.
And like if I was Cody, I would just be like, I'm
get me out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And not even because they're awful people, just because like I'm 25 years old and I don't need to be sitting at dinner with my boyfriend and his daughter and her ex-husband and her friend who's dating her ex-husband with her new husband present and hello, like this is you can't write this.
I was just going to say that. You just took the words out of my mouth. You can't write this. It's a soap opera within a reality show.
But at the same time, her being a 25-year-old with who knows how old George is, that in itself, that's not normal.
I just wonder where they
kind of fits it. It fits
at
in
the
with
salon.
She works at a salon.
Because she works at the
because he went in, remember, to get his scrotum waxed.
Oh, yeah. Ew, I guess I tried to block that out of my memory. That was right when I sat down. Oh, yeah. Okay. So it makes you wonder if that place is also like happy endings and stuff like that. If it's one of those places. You never know. I don't know.
I bet anywhere he goes, he turns into a happy ending kind of a place.
I know I'm not getting into predictions, but it looks like next week, does Ramona say something to her about her parents or something?
Yes.
That's, so she's already like presuming that like.
Below the line, she's going to hit it.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
So it's too bad. She was so pleasant this episode. I really liked Ramona this episode.
Okay, so let's get into that. Okay. I would love to get into that. Let's swoop around to the beginning of the episode. So we got a little bit of George out. We had to get. We just watched it. How could we ignore that?
Okay. Not to mention now we can block out the scrotum.
Yes. Oh God.
Sorry, I brought it back up.
The only two times we'll be saying the word. Yeah.
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 Okay. So what did you think of the? So obviously we saw the flowers and everything like that last week and all that and her apology and and I wasn't here last week, but I. I do want to say that I felt like in this situation, Ramona I was really shocked that she put herself out there and said sorry the way she did. She was very apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I try to put myself in Kristen's shoes because I know that she doesn't want to take the apology and hear it and then be like, you know, just dismiss it after she says one apology. I understand Kristen's like, this happened twice. Like, how am I supposed to believe you? But at some point, I felt like it could have been just moved on. Mm. So what did you think of the situation with Luann, Kristen, and Heather when Kristen is telling Heather and Luann about the meeting with Ramona and her viewpoints of that meeting? What did you think of how she felt about how the meeting went and how she felt like, you know, she kind of used as Luann says, she used an excuse for the Hamptons once again to get out of the situation with Kristen and what do you think of that conversation between them?
Well, I think Courtney and I kind of were talking about it last week and saying that Kristen was almost just taking it a little bit too far, and we both love Kristen, but that
I agree.
All right, your lip had a little cut on it. You didn't require stitches. Yeah. It wasn't hospital worthy or anything like that. So, All right, she's apologized now. Let's let it go. I didn't think there was a need for Kristen to bring it up today again, saying, I bled. And she is, you know, like, I was like, oh my God, please don't tell me that we got a whole other episode talking about this bloody lip again.
I'm trying to see her side too, and I totally do. And I really am trying to put myself in her shoes and be like, well, what if? Because what if would go through my head a bunch of times. What if it turned into this? What if it was worse? What if, like, you know, just how could you do that? And how could you risk that?
It's not so much the bloody lip. It's more the fact, the principle, her action.
Right.
Behavior. Mm-hmm. You cannot do this. Like as you school a child, like her children, you do not hit someone or throw something at someone and it's okay. It's not right. Okay.
But to what end? I mean, yeah, I felt like based on Ramona's apology and the flowers and all of the things that happened, at what point, like, what, I feel like there's nothing that will satisfy Kristen. And if that's the case, and if this is just somebody she's not interested in being associated with, then accept the apology and then make that clear. Like, yeah. You know, I get that you're sorry, but this isn't okay, and I don't feel comfortable being around somebody that's like this. And just kind of move on. You know, and I did. I felt like she was not accepting or really even acknowledging of the fact that Ramona just put herself out there in a way we haven't ever seen.
And that it's not easy for her to do that.
Right.
Some people can apologize, and they're when I do something wrong, I'm totally the first one to apologize. I just like to get it out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I know this was huge for Ramona, and she really was genuine. And the flowers, they were beautiful. She really tried. I just feel like she shuts down, and when she realized Kristen wasn't going to accept it, she was like,
yep,
see
right
ya.
Back.
Yep,
yeah.
I gotta go.
Defending herself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she didn't have to be anywhere, but the fact is, she wanted to act like she had to be somewhere, because it's her defense mechanism to act like she's too busy for this situation. She's got to get out of there, because it's like there's nothing else she could do. Mm-hmm. And what'd you think of the her saying to the girls? She let the girls know she called her a monster. And what did you think of just in that situation? I want to know what you guys thought of the word monster. How would you take that if you were Ramona?
I think they all sort of made a bit, you know, took it as lighthearted.
Yeah.
Because then they start saying, "Oh, we've called her several other names and stingers." So, you know, there's a
How
lot
would
of
you
other
take
names.
It? Would you be upset at that word?
Called her a monster.
If someone called you that, the word monster, like, how would you react? Because I was trying to figure out, like, how anybody else would react.
Monster isn't something that
I don't like the word.
You don't really hear that often around.
I think that's what makes it more offensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's an easy blow to go, you know, bitch, or,
exactly.
You know, whatever other word is sort of, like, the common way to go. But to really kind of, like, move past all of that type of language and into sort of, like, childish name-calling, I think I would rather be called a bitch than a monster.
Me too.
At that point.
Me too.
No, I think monsters, for some reason, I think child, like, I'm like, oh, I think of, it doesn't, for me, it doesn't resonate anything really negative. I just think of cartoon characters, and I'm like,
you
oh,
do.
Okay.
What do
you, have you seen
really
the movie Monster? Because that might change your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Charlize
Theron.
Yes, but yeah. She was.
That's
murdering serial killer. But she was a monster.
No, that.
What Ramona did wasn't to the status of, like, that movie.
That movie was...
Yeah,
no,
Ramona did is not even close
no,
to
I'm
what
just
should
saying,
be considered
like,
a monster.
No, that the connotation of what people go to when they hear the word is not the same. If I thought...
because I had pictures of the cartoon, well, I had pictures of this mass murder rape.
Sorry,
yeah,
but you see what I'm saying.
Never, yeah,
where, like, the word is more
way.
Offensive when you're not thinking of cartoon, like Cookie Monster.
Yeah, that's...
If you're thinking of Cookie Monster, then yeah, then that's going to be something you'd rather be called.
First Chef. There are very, very few people that if you called them a monster that would actually sit and go, you called me a monster?
Right.
I would have had to have done, if in my mind, I would have had to have done something really, really horrible. And taking a wine glass and throwing it at somebody doesn't make somebody a monster, in my opinion. I think that word, that is a very, very far way to go. And
yeah.
What she did wasn't worthy of that word.
I agree.
So if somebody called me a monster, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, she composed herself really well.
Care
I would have walked
because
out.
Because I'd be like, I'm not.
I
know
okay,
I'm not.
I see what you're saying.
I would go, I know I'm not a monster. if that's what you think, I feel sorry for you, but that's that you don't have the vocabulary to be able to to really tell me how you feel. But that word is no. I would sit there and go, okay,
mm-hmm. okay, that makes sense. Where it's like because the word means what it means, you can associate that I cannot be compared mm-hmm. to that.
Yes.
Like, I'm not actually that.
Now, if someone calls me crazy or psycho, I get a little bit
that's
angry. It. That's my
stupid
trigger word.
If somebody makes me, like, imply, like, they're condescending or makes, like, stupid, that's the one
that's
for me.
That's your trigger.
Call me crazy. Oh. Don't imply that I'm unintelligent.
That's
the so be nice.
Yeah. Anyway, so these are our PMS moments. Stay away from us.
We've all got our negative crunch, but I think overall, I think we all agree we can just move on.
Yes. Yes.
Done.
Okay.
We're all not right. finished
yes.
that. And
yes. Well, I think a lot of people that are big Ramona fans are going to be angry at watching that. And I also think people that are, you know, that are on Kristen's side, they're going to see. It's just, you know, there's just so many opinions that you can have at this point. So it is good to get into something like that because I didn't want to ignore it. But anyway, so to the next thing. So Luann does say it's no shock that Ramona used the Hamptons as an excuse to leave the lunch with Kristen. Mm. And did you feel like when Sonia was saying you don't know what it's like to have a kid in college and everything, did you feel, because Kristen seemed like she was taking it as, oh, are you trying to say that I'm not a mom that loves my kids? Or I think Kristen was taking it that way. I was taking it as Ramona was saying, like, it's different. Your kids are at home. I don't get much time to see my daughter. And I think she got immediately defensive over that. And so watching the two of them kind of not see eye to eye in that conversation and take it differently was causing a lot more tension, I think.
Yeah, apples and oranges. Because I don't think that – I think it was – we both agreed, I think, that it was different. Your kid going to college – and wanting to spend time with them has nothing to do with somebody who has a little, you know, 2-year-old or 5-year-old and being okay not spending every second with them because they know that they're going to be home for the next 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think in any way Ramona meant that as like a low blow to Kristen and her choice or parenting mm-hmm. style.
I didn't think so either. I just think as a mother, because I've seen this happen many times in other shows too, where you immediately take it as, oh, you're saying I'm not a good mom. Or because I think moms are,
naturally.
Of course,
it's
right?
Like anybody who's going to question someone's, you know, role as mother and how good they are and stuff like that is extremely sensitive.
Yeah. And they're already on rocky ground. Yeah. So anything that either one of them can kind of say that could be construed as something different, mm-hmm. they're going to immediately get a little bit of, you know, fear in them just because of the situation, and there already being awkward tension there between the two of them.
Do you see any hope for them?
Exactly.
No. Only because of the preview for next week.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be besties. Yeah. But what I would like to bring up was what we saw in last episode that continues on to this episode was then Josh and Kristen's relationship, the tension.
Yes.
So when she was doing her workout video, which I'll let you continue on with.
No, go ahead. You're on a roll, honey.
When she was auditioning she spoke about how this is a new phase. She needs to... She can't get work as a model straight up, then she can now, you know, start looking in other opportunities, which is being on a workout video. And they pay very well, we all discussed about it. It's a good area to go into by all means. And she's got a fantastic body and she's a fit girl. But when she actually got booked for it and then was on set, that was just kind of...
Okay.
She was like, Josh, enough. And he was just pushing and pushing, saying, I'm going to stand back and I'm going to watch. And she's like, no, this is getting creepy. I want you to leave. He wasn't going to take it.
Okay. I watched the – I don't know if you guys saw or if any of you watching and listening saw Heather on Watch It Happens Live last week. Mm-hmm. But obviously she's really close to Kristen. So Andy brings it up, like the relationship between
Josh
and Kristen. Yeah. And she says, you know what? Here's the thing. You don't find – it's not very often that you find two people who have balls in a relationship. Like they both have the balls to put – the things that happen in everybody's lives on camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're really no different than any other couple. It just so happens that they're on camera. This is exactly the same situation that happens in most households. The husband works. The wife wants him home more. The
Didn't
husband
we
is.
About that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You did? Okay.
I was trying to remember, yeah.
Heather was on last conversation in America. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you guys were dead on because that's exactly what Heather said last Tuesday after the episode aired. And she was like, they have a very, very good relationship. It just so happens that's the case, and they're willing to do that think about how many couples are really willing to do that, you know, and put themselves
but
out there.
But here's my issue with that scene was he's tonight. Cutting tonight.
Okay. Okay.
Is her him cutting her down while she's filming that music video. Or while she's, sorry, not music
yeah,
video.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Workout video.
Yeah.
He's doing it while she's shooting it. Like, they're on a break, and he's saying, oh, can we get rid of the pooch or whatever. Just these little digs at her. Now, I mean, I know, and we've all obviously hosted and auditioned and all sorts of stuff like that. If you have something bad happen to you before an audition, we all try and let it go, but you know deep down it's still kind of like, it's with you, and you either use it, you try to let it go, or whatever.
You have to use it.
Now, imagine here you are, you've booked the job, and now you've got the person putting you down while you're shooting it.
Yeah.
I would have been so furious with him. Furious. I would have probably, like, not yelled in front of the crew because that would have just been unprofessional. But I would have excused myself with him and said, you can leave and don't come back till tomorrow. I do
okay.
not want to see
and
you.
That's, the difference for me, because I agree with what Heather said and kind of what we talked about last week and what you were just saying about them.
Yeah.
I feel like the difference between the conversations that they've had, like, this is, I would dub it public, because you've got the whole crew, you've got her employer at this point, you know, yeah. because of the circumstances. It is not okay, I don't think, to cut down, even if you're trying to be playful and poking fun, like, this is not the time and the place. And then when she's clearly unhappy with it, it's like, you have to at least acknowledge that this is not helpful.
Was it produced? Was this?
I don't think so at all. I think that was him. I think that was him.
Okay, well, think about
it.
He's an extremely brilliant businessman who has his best interest, his wife's best interest, and the family as a whole.
And resentment.
Would he ever do that, though, and jeopardize a job where she's making money? She's getting her name out there? I mean, in front of the employer? Or would he do it for other reasons?
Well, this
I just
was
don't
a
think
friend,
in,
right?
Didn't, yeah, but slash him. Mm. I mean, these are people on the crew. These are she's filming at this moment.
Oh, yeah.
He could have taken her aside. He did it. He publicly did it because I think it's creating some drama for the show.
Yeah.
I don't think he said anything that was detrimental to her reputation and her job.
No.
They were little things. And I think at the end of the day, you know, there's always that one person in your life. Like, for me, it's my mom. Some people you just can go to and you're like, Mom, what do I really look like right now? Or how do I really look? And they'll tell you. I think he's that guy for her. I just think it's aggravating at the same time.
Well, if you think about all the other relationships that actually are still coupled up, none of them have got the same spark. It's a bit of tension. They've picked up the tension straight away and I'm presuming producers like, let's run with this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try and keep, because it's the only tension going now between a couple.
Why else would Heather he do it? Anderson. He wouldn't want to jeopardize her reputation unless there was more to it. Like, there's
but
more
it's
to
not her best work then.
But how do you, but what if
it's not going to be her best work when she's sitting there being cut down?
But is it her best work at the end of the day? Is it kind of a sacrifice that makes her a little more relevant on the show?
Hmm.
Because now there's a scene that they didn't cut because it's actually interesting. So she got like 5 more minutes of airtime on The Real Housewives, but maybe her video wasn't perfect.
But in the workout video, you can tell that she's upset and that she's.
Do you think that they would really use that?
Have we seen the whole take of it? And that could have been one small time.
And then you're right. Maybe it could have been, and maybe they reshot everything.
Who knows?
But,
who knows?
But. That was that really, really.
No, of course,
that got to me.
No, he wasn't being a support system in the sense that he was like, "You go, girl! Like, you look great. You go, girl." That would be really weird for a husband. You go, girl! But like, he was like, he wasn't a cheerleader for her in that sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think he made a decision that was, I don't want this scene to get cut. Let's make it interesting. What can I do?
I could see him doing that.
He's a businessman. He's smart.
I think that there are other ways to make it interesting besides just
what other
cut
ways
your
would,
wife.
It's drama. We know
it's
that.
Drama.
It fades. It gets the ratings and
how
stuff
else
like
is Kristen
going
to get drama right now other than with Ramona or with, I mean, because she's not a troublemaker.
Right.
And
her working out can only be viewed so far.
Yeah. That would be one of those cuts, those things they show in like the, you know, the clips that they've taken out. The snippets. Yeah. So, I just felt like, I don't know.
I agree. I think I could totally see him doing that for airtime. I feel like there's other things that are interesting. Like, watching where, I mean, the drama with the couple and all of that stuff. But it's like, you know, I had more fun watching, I want to say Luann, and I know it's not her, it's Carol and Ramona interviewing. You know,
what
and it's
about
like
the assistant interview. I mean, was that not staged or what?
Oh, it was totally staged. Oh, come on.
It was so horrible.
You know, it was staged. I mean, Lindsay, it was staged, right? You're like the most insider of all this, like in terms of, I mean, it was staged, right? That's crazy.
Oh, nobody brings a resume. Everybody's like,
no.
The questions were crazy.
Like,
I don't know if the questions were staged. I could see Carol because she was on personality.
Yes.
But, like, yeah, the resumes, I mean, in a Twitter ad, it's like...
And the guy rapping
for her. Or it's like, maybe they didn't stage it as far as, like, maybe they only showed the people that didn't bring a resume. Because, I mean...
It's like American Idol. You're not going to see the great singers. Exactly.
I mean, look at, like Ramona said, you know, you don't go to Twitter...
Yeah, Twitter
for an
ad.
Assistant. I mean,
we got to see if she
you're
really
gonna get some crazy people. Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we are having Carol on live in the studio next Tuesday. Yay. Forgot to mention that. It's kind of cool, I would think.
Yeah.
So we'll ask her all the questions that we want answers to, and you guys can tweet
us,
put it on YouTube, let us know.
Yeah.
I want to know, though, did she find an assistant?
Yep.
And I want to know, was that produced? She'll tell us. She's totally so real. She's like Heather. She's going to tell us everything.
And has she
so
converted
excited.
Her kitchen into an office?
Oh, God. Yes.
Does she not have a kitchen anymore?
And did she have a second date with the guy from last week that she had a little crush on?
Yes. Got lots of questions for her. Wow.
And did she need to fake that orgasm?
Oh, God. What is it? 76% she said? Fake orgasm?
Something like that,
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's going to really
I'm
make
surprised
a guy
it's that low.
Insecure. I know. I know, right? okay. So, yes. Yeah, so the rapper, first of all, he was like, I'm a vocalist. I'm a rapper. And he starts rapping. I mean, come on. Who does that? No one would ever do that. Mm. No one would ever do that. What about the lady, the girl that was like, yeah, my previous employer's dead. But it's kind of helpful because I can leave now or whatever.
But
I mean, what?
She looked the most professional at first. And then when she started talking, I was like,
the lady from ABC was the best one.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
She was like, oh, my God, you remind me of me when I was younger. And she's like, she's the only one who read her book.
And she is the only one who read a book. He said.
Really Do you really think she read her book?
I mean, I would never say yes.
So.
Because what if she says, okay, then tell me what
you think of
chapter 16.
I would
die. That's what you do. You pick a chapter or you pick a handful of pages and you read them so that when they ask you your favorite part, you can say this and you're gonna correlate it to some like personal experience so that they can't say, well, but what about this and this? Cause it's more interesting. You know what I mean? Like you pick a boring
You've done this
scene.
Before,
you know what I mean?
Haven't you?
I've never been interviewed by, but it's like, it's one of those where it's like, it's common sense. Like, you can research and, you know.
You've got the cliff notes. Cliff
Someone
notes.
Has, yeah. He's done the review of the book. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
That was a funny scene, though. We needed a little light, a little scene.
Yeah.
It was really funny.
Sonia, we got that throughout the episode. We got the ups and downs emotionally with her, especially when she went to her spiritual,
the chakra. I want to get into that. I just wanted to ask really quick, though, what did you think of, okay, so you know how Ramona says at the beginning, she's like, she asks a question to Carol. She's like, if you have book signing for 300 people tomorrow, and you also just got a phone call that half of your alcohol,
they
only have one case left, what's the one that's more important? And she never answered the question, so I really do want to know what the answer was. In her opinion.
Well, because she said, she's like, if you would ask your assistant this, because the assistant's obviously going to be the one taking care of it. And Carol was like, well, I didn't listen.
Yeah, I know.
I
so we didn't get
Carol
the answer. I was like,
adorable.
Damn. What did you think
I would
the answer
love
was?
People think, I would say the book signing, because it's timely. I mean, that's today.
That's what I think, too. So. What do you guys think? That could be our YouTube question for today.
There you go.
What do you think would be the answer that Ramona would be looking for from her assistant if she were to have an interview with her assistant and ask that question?
So and we'll have to see if she tweets an answer.
I think that's an appropriate interview question, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're going to make your assistant work for it and tell you. Like, I mean, and maybe there is no wrong answer.
I was
maybe, maybe they're both right, but it's how the person confidently displays what the answer is and
gets
how
to their
they
decision.
Get there. That's what she wants
as
to hear.
As long as they're not sitting on the fence and like, oh, maybe we could get that. She wants someone
assistant
who would
make a
decision.
Exactly. Right.
Well, that's true, because both will get done faster if they can make a decision and do it and move on to the next rather than... Well, this.
What do you think? Well, shit, no, that's why you're my sister.
Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. That'd be great. No. Oh, God. But yes, So the next scene is the emotionally. Sonia was emotionally separating herself from Milu.
Mm.
But with these drums and this healing.
She has twins when she's 57.
This woman. Mind over matter. You cannot mind over matter a pregnancy.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
I mean.
I don't know. I just thought it was
all in silence
right now.
I didn't know what to say about that. I was just kind of
the
like.
The thing, you know, I will say, I thought that actually, I really like this for Sonia. And I'm not one that would be like, let's go call the witch doctor.
Yeah,
not that she was one, but like, you know, let's go try all these like natural herbal, like different things. Like I don't go seeking those things out. And usually when people recommend them, it's not the first thing that I'm just like really into hearing about. And, And Sonya's doing one of those things, and it was really cool to actually get to see what they do versus just have somebody, like, a testimonial of it.
Yeah.
Because I really felt like for Sonya, this was really actually quite productive and helpful. She said she's already separated mm-hmm. physically from Milou. Now this is her way to emotionally separate from Milou. And there was actually a lot of baggage that comes with being emotionally tied to this pet. And I mean, I haven't had a dog since I was a child, and I can only, you know, base it off of other people that, I mean, this is mm-hmm. like a child to her. Mm-hmm. Maybe even more so in the sense that Milou was there through her marriage, through her divorce, through her child.
She makes a note and says that I never use my daughter and I never will as a clutch. You know, I've never mm-hmm. used her, but I have rested upon Milou.
The dog.
Like, my dog mm-hmm. has been everything. She was the biggest thing before my daughter.
And I think
she did choke both times that she said that part of the
yes. Mm-hmm. And I would say even after the passing with the physical separation, she still would lean to Milou. And that's mm-hmm. why this was so important. And we saw, you know, all of the different things that came up in this. And I think that for Sonya and for the way that the things she believes in and the way that she lives her life, that was really productive. And I thought that the confessionals, you know, when she was talking, kind of like reflecting back on that, mm-hmm. were... She just seemed different. Like, the tone, like, she was just radiant. I wrote down she looked radiant, and she just sounded very, like, put together and very just intelligent. And not to say she doesn't otherwise, but it was just different for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, in a very good way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the whole,
Weren't you ladies so disappointed when she goes and later and has dinner after everything coming out there and she realized, you know what? Ramona's been really... She manipulates me, you know? All these things she kind of realizes.
You mean the dinner with Aviva?
Yes. And I was thinking, okay, good on you, Sonya. You're going to go out there and stand up for yourself. She stood up, and then it just was Pinky Promise. That was
right.
The end.
She does it in a way that's very...
It was just comical. Nobody took anything serious.
I totally agree, but we all have said this in the past about how Sonya has the ability to say what's on her mind, but never really get under anybody's skin, because she has a way about her. And she did this tonight. She's like, as she's trying to explain to Aviva how aggravating it was what Ramona did, you know, she's like, and you know, she did like what a sister would do. And she knows what words to say to keep it neutral enough that you're not going to think that I'm... She has a way with words, and she knows that she can say how she feels to Ramona, but she has to say it in a certain way. So using the word sister, using the word hurt, using the word, you know, those words are a way for her to express to Ramona mm-hmm. how she feels without getting on Ramona's bad side.
Without feeling like she's attacking her.
Right, because Sonya is smarter than every one of these women in the sense that she knows exactly what each person's buttons mm-hmm. are and how yes. not to push them.
Well, I think
but she acts like she doesn't, but she's brilliant in that sense. She just acts like, oh, la, la, la.
I agree. Really, I think, though, with Ramona, I think using the word sister, some of those words, aside from just being, like, knowingly the right word to use, that's genuinely how she felt, because who else would be her sister as far as, like, any of the mm-hmm, housewives yeah. or any friend? No, I mean, it's Ramona, and I feel like that's also why she can sort of sit there and kind of talk to Aviva like Ramona's not there about something that she doesn't like that Ramona did. Mm. And Ramona just kind of sat there and took it and kind of like smiled and was just kind of...
She laughed a little
bit.
Yeah. But your real sister, your real family, you know you don't have to really beat around the bush and you don't have to really put things into a nice way of saying them because they're your family. They'll always mm-hmm. be there. Yes. So she doesn't 100% feel like that Ramona will never leave her. Mm. And I think she knows that. She knows that Ramona will pick up and leave if Ramona feels like you're betraying her, you're hurting her, and she also feels for Ramona, and she loves Ramona, and she cries for Ramona, and she has a lot of empathy for Ramona. So I think at the same time, she wanted to let her know, you did hurt me, but she's not going to attack her. And she doesn't do it that way, and that's why they're remaining friends, because they both know how to communicate to the other one.
Yeah. I don't think Ramona would ever leave her, even if Sonya may have a fear of that. Especially kind of in that moment, I really felt like, I mean, this is it. Like, Ramona's in it. And I don't know if it's because there's an element of her maybe not taking Sonya seriously. You know, like, so seriously that she would ever let something that Ramona would never let something that Sonya said, really get to her because... You know, she's just like, oh, well, it's Sonya. You know, like there's a little bit of that, like, she's...
They have a long the relationship underneath is really quite strong. And
exactly.
That. She all these things and they were, that's what I was disappointed. I was just saying, I wish Sonia would have actually stood up for herself a little bit more and not just, you know,
talk the way a real sister would have.
But Sonia did, but a few weeks ago, it was a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Remember when Ramona did say your show?
She
stuck up for herself there.
Stop letting her walk over you. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're being manipulated every time and you just let it.
Well, and that's why she feels resentment for being taken advantage of because she's allowing it.
Exactly.
But then you're right. You do have to say how you're feeling.
You just set boundaries. It's not easy.
And
not
especially that many.
That you have to, everyone has to like you. As you say, she always does. She makes sure everyone. Well, stop it. Actually, because that's what happens. You get taken advantage of.
There's a step between Kristen and Sonia where Kristen kind of keeps pushing it, and Sonia's like, okay, I'll just let it go.
Yeah.
You've got to find a good middle ground.
I'll tell you who did that is Luann. I think she always finds a kind of good middle ground.
Yeah, she does, but she plays both sides of the fence. So in a sense, yes, she does that, but she's telling one person one thing, another person another thing. She doesn't really care.
I see that still more.
I mean, but Luann's been a lot better this season. It's like almost like she knows now, since I'm not a full cast member, I can be, she's a little more able to be more comfortable with the camera and not so much like having to please people with whoever she's with.
Mm. Or worry about getting her 5 minute scene
exactly.
in. Kind of
she
thing.
Knows she is, you know,
she's in it when she is.
Yeah, they've been there.
She's since, not when she's not kind
exactly,
of
exactly, exactly. So, then they meet Jamie and Ramona says he doesn't come with training wheels, Sonia. So, I mean, obviously that's another thing that she resents her about, resents Ramona
because
about.
Because of Ben.
Brings it up again.
Yep.
And she says, well, you're all as old as his mother. She's like, but it's not about that. It's about our, you know, our dynamic. It's not about age. So it just aggravates her that Ramona doesn't see how she feels about Ben.
Well, and it's interesting because when they showed the flashback tonight from the episode when they were all at the spa, the titles or what Ramona said in that was that she called a friend's mom to, you know, that she said she called someone. When she has talked about it since, and like when we spoke with her, she was like, no, I didn't call looking for the information. I was talking with somebody, found out while we were already on a call about something that there was that connection. And so then I asked, because we were already on a call, I didn't go seeking it out. And so it's like, well, which is it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Did you go seeking out the information knowing that it might put a stop to it? Or was it kind of like, Oh, we both like this? Oh, you know her too? Oh, well, you know, give me the dirt kind of a thing.
I think Ramona's thought process must be, I'm looking out for my friend, and this is not going to be an end-all for a relationship. This isn't going to end in marriage and kids. So why should she waste her time? But Sonia's not looking at it like that. Sonia's like, I'm living in the moment, and this is right now making me happy. So I just think they just can't see eye to eye in the situation, but Ramona needs to learn that there's going to be so many times where your good friends are dating someone you just don't like, and you have to just keep your mouth shut and maybe voice your opinion, but then after that, let them do what they want to do.
She just doesn't keep your mouth shut then.
You can express how you feel and be very vocal, and I don't even think at any point you necessarily have to keep your mouth shut, but there's a difference between vocalizing how you feel about the person your friend is dating and meddling with the person.
Playing with fire.
You know what I mean? Like, doing something that
actually
could alter or end the relationship.
To make it, whether it be the phone, whatever occurred, but you're actually doing that extra effort.
Yeah. It's one thing to tell you I don't like the guy you're dating. It's another for me to make sure that he doesn't want to date you anymore.
Well, clearly they're dating
because
still.
Because I don't like, you know.
Because when we spoke to Sonia, she did say they're still dating. So she and Ben obviously make
reconnected
up.
Reconnected somewhere.
Yeah, because this was a while ago. But, okay, so then, what did we know? So the funeral with the finding out that Sonia... That Milu was gay.
Oh my gosh.
Aviva's
so
line
cute.
Was brilliant.
Yes. Finally, Aviva got like,
oh my
we
God.
All laughed.
Aviva,
go ahead and say
that
it.
Was amazing. Go, you do it, Lindsay. You cracked up even more than me.
God,
it was the best. I don't know. She says, okay, now all the other dogs will come out. Yep. So he basically, Milu, you know, gave every other gay dog the ability to have the strength to say, I am going to come out of the closet.
I'm coming out of the closet.
And I know my dog was gay before he passed. And everybody who knew Rocket knew he was 100% gay, like literally gay, and he was
that's so funny.
Like the coolest guy. Like he was just like totally like I just call him a guy, but he was like the coolest like sidekick. Like you just wanted to hang out with him. You totally knew if he was a human, he would be gay and awesome. So I totally agree that your dogs can be gay, lesbian.
I never had thought about that.
I mean,
at
but
all.
Think about Sonia
until she said that. Until Sonia was like, you know, Milu's gay. Like, What? I would have never.
But Sonya for a mom, for a. Like, Sonya's not the most masculine. I mean, obviously, everybody's going to be. Yeah. It would be like if she had a son and, you know, there's. Who knows? I would just think there's a chance that he could be gay. I mean, my mom is, like, literally like Sonya in so many ways. Like, if you met my mom, and literally. We always say if I had a brother, he would be 100% gay. He'd be, like, he'd be awesome. He'd be
little boys, fancy.
Oh my god, yeah. So yeah, I totally. And she's like, "Well, we picked out the most macho picture of him with a tennis ball in his mouth. It was so cute." But
wasn't it sad? It was actually quite comical when they went to do though. You must admit when they went to throw off the ashes and then kind of got all the sideboard
and it's all over her dress.
Oh, lift it up. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I want to point out, I really, really liked, I mean, and like I said, like, I have not been the kind of person that, like, has a pet that becomes a family member in this way at all. I mean, I haven't had pets, you know, and so I can't relate to her in that sense. But what I really liked was we've seen Sonya with so many things throughout the season and in the past where she just kind of, like, wings it, you know, like we saw with the charity dancing earlier in the season, and the fact that she this meant that much to her, that she spent the time to write out and actually put her thoughts into words, was incredible. And, you know, just really a testament to how much Milu meant to her and how much I think that a pet can. And for somebody that looking at this from the outside would have, from like the previews last week, was like, oh my gosh, like seriously, a dog funeral dress to the nines, like this is ridiculous. Like, again, kind of like with the spiritual thing, like this is not how I would cope. This is not the way that I think I would do it. But I really think that these were things that Sonya needed. And Heather was spot on in her confessional when she said that this was not about Milu at all.
Nope. It was literally, it was about Sonya, and it was tied up in a little puppy package, as she said.
Super cute.
And she is. She's going through. She spoke about there was so more to it of getting through from the ex-husband. I'm sure there's probably some emotional, some other issues with her daughter not being there, not being able to see her as much. And then finally as well, she even mentioned about her experiences in her childhood. There was a lot that came up from this process. But I guess there's going to be a lot more next week as well.
I think that time that she got Milu obviously was a very sensitive time because she says right before my daughter. So that time was when she got Milu, maybe she didn't even realize it, but she was trying to get something to fill an emptiness inside of her or fill a void, and then became family. It became that part of her that when you lose that pet, it's almost like you lose that part of you again. You have to figure out. It's not easy.
Yeah.
We're done. Yeah. Okay. So do you want to – anything else we can talk about? What I miss? We miss anything?
Prediction.
Other than predictions.
Yeah,
all right. Prediction.
Yep. Cool.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'll leave this to you guys. So by the time you guys get to me, there's nothing else to predict. I'm like, forget it.
I'm nervous for the fight between Sonya and Kristen. Sonya, we normally don't see Sonya get angry.
These are our two non-confrontational girls, and they are both.
Yep, they're going to go. And I don't foresee it being some sort of crazy, dramatic fist fight or anything like that. Obviously, we know Kristen wouldn't hit somebody. But I think it's going to be tension-filled. And I'm hoping it's not something that ruins their friendship for the rest of a season. I'm predicting they will get past this. But I think it's going to be the new drama that takes up the show for the next few episodes.
And that preview is what makes me think that there will not be anything between Ramona and Kristen. Right. That this is maybe Sonia's, like, you know, she gets in the middle of it, and that's where it's like, if you can't get along with either of them, you're not going to get along with either of them.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, we have Carol next week with us, which will be awesome. Yes. So we'll be sitting down with her and getting to recap with her. So excited about that. And you can just tweet us your questions as well. I'm at Miss Ashley Daniels for Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm at Host McGrath, and on YouTube at Host Stephanie McGrath.
And you guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wagner on my blog, lindsaywagner.blogspot.com.
And I can be found at Cohen, C-O-U-H-E-N, on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Bye.
See you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.